Okay, so we want to see some toises and daf mem base on the daf. So we saw the toises lachmanias. We're up to silek itmar. So what was the story in the Gemara? The Gemara said that they finished the meal. They brought some further food to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa ate it. So they said, what's going on? Haven't we learned that once you've finished, once gomar, once you've completed the meal, that's hesach hadas. So you can't eat after that without a brocha. What's going on? So he says, no. I learned that it's not gomar, it's silik. The fact that you've merely finished eating is not enough. Because even if you finish, but you could always, in theory, eat more. Once it's silik, once you've removed the table and the food, that's, as it were, an act of finality. And that's real hesach hadas, and then, indeed, you'd have to begin all over again. But as long as you haven't, therefore you can continue eating. That's what I did. So it says Tosfos, silik itma mashma, the implication is, shedarkon hoyo, that their derech was lesalik hashulchan, to remove the table, koidem birkas hamazon, before birkas hamazon. That seems to be that was the minig. Or lechayra kasha. Lechayra, it seems to be a little bit difficult. Leminhag shalanu. What about our custom? Shalanu makpidim. We seem to be particular. Shaloi lesalik halechem koidem. We dafka are very particular not to remove the bread before Birkas HaMazon. In fact, there's an Indian that you should actually be makpid that the bread is on the table. So it's very strange. They used to remove the table before benching. And we, not only do we not do that, but we're particular to do the exact opposite, which is very strange. If we're makpid that the bread should be there, then clearly there must be some particular reason, must be an Indian that the bread should indeed be there. So, is there an Indian or is there no Indian? And if there is, why didn't they do it in the times of the Gemara? And if there isn't, then why are we makbid now? V'shemo says Tosas, perhaps, b'yemehem nami, even in their days, lo yehoyu mesalkin hashulchan, they would not remove the table mikame, from in front of Hamavarich. When it says they would remove the tables, they didn't actually remove all of the tables. Perhaps, this is conjecture. Perhaps they didn't remove the table from in front of the Mavarich. Remember, the way it used to work was one person benched, and he led the benching, was might see everybody else. Maybe his table was actually left there. Rather, the tables that were removed were the ones in front of the other masubin. What does masubin mean, by the way? So we always have to get out of our mindset. Whenever we talk about eating, we always immediately have our eating in mind. You know, chairs around the table. It wasn't that. Rather, it was masubin. Masubin means leaning. They used to lean on a couch and have a little private table. That's why we always call the people around the table, as it were, as masubin, the leaners, the rest. So Tosfos says that perhaps, this is conjecture, they only ever removed the table from in front of the mavarich, the one who was being moitzi everybody else, but the tables in front of the other masubin, those were not removed. Lafi, because shahoyu lohen shulchanos ketanim, because they had small little tables, v'kol echad lifnei atzmoi, and each one for himself, oichel al shulchanai. So even though the Gemara says that they removed the table, and that was Rav Papa's whole heter to continue eating, why? Because he said, I learned it's not gomar, but rather it's silik, so it's quite clearly telling you that that was the minhag to remove the table. Perhaps, says Tosfos, they only removed the tables from in front of those people who are not leading the benching. Avol onu, but we, however, shiragilin lechol kulonu al shulchan echad. But we, however, we frequently we are accustomed to eating all of us kulonu al shulchan echad from one table rather than each one on his individual table. Therefore, ein no'er lesalek ha'shulchan. Therefore, it's not appropriate to remove the table ad la'acha birkas ha'mozein. Because we don't have that option of the Gemara of removing some of the tables and keeping others. We don't have that option. Sounds like that's what they did in the Gemara. They removed some of the tables, but not the table from in front of the Mavarich. But we don't have that option anymore. Why don't we have that option anymore? Because there's no some tables and other tables. There is only one table, and so therefore we have to keep it there. If you have to keep the table in front of the Mavarich, and if you only have one table, then obviously that table has to remain. And therefore, there's no real difference, as it were, between the minig of the Gemara and our minig. The minig is always, make sure the table is there in front of the Mavarich. So in those days, it meant his own private table, everybody else goes. In our days, where there is only one table, so obviously the table is kept.
Can we assume that in the case of the Gemara, that the tables, all the tables were removed?
Right, that's what Tosafot is suggesting. Okay. Yeah. Again, he doesn't know that to be the case. He says clearly, v'shema, perhaps, conjecture. Just for the sake of answering the original question, what happened over the course of time? Okay, so that was story number one. Story number two, first one was with Rav Papa. The next story was with Rav Zeira. It says that they did indeed remove the table, and they suddenly brought food from the Balabais, and they said, what's going on? You've removed the table. He says, yeah, but I'm relying on the Balabais' table. So here, obviously, it wouldn't be enough of a teretz to say, there's a difference between Silik and Gomar, because we're talking about Silik. They actually removed the table. So yeah, but as long as the Balabais, this food came from the Balabais, he's really running the show. It really depends on his table. Says Tosfos, Tamer. It's a wonder. Lafi mashem aforashim ha'oilom. According to the way the world explain. This is the way everybody understands. That as soon as you say hav lon v'navrich, quote unquote, which is basically our raboisai nevorich, hav lon nevorich, let us bench, Aramaic for let us have give or let lon as v'navrich, let us bench. From then onwards, osur lemishti, it is then osur to drink beloy brocha shalafonov, without making a first brocha. Why? Again, because in our terminology, Havlon v'nevorech, or Raboisai nevorech, or some people say in Yiddish, Raboisai mevelen benchen, that's considered the ultimate hesach hadas, in which case that your initial first bracha is no longer valid. From that point onwards, if you want to drink, you have to make a bracha. Fine.
West Tosfos give the example of drinking.
Drinking, yeah, I'm not sure. Could be. I'm not sure again what these rishtina was that were brought in the Gemara. I'm not sure. But either way, if that's the case, amai loy ochal. So why did Reb Zeira not eat? Remember it said there was Reb Zeira and there was Rava. Rava ate. Reb Zeira did not eat. So Reb Zeira said, I'm not eating because there's been a removal of the table. And Rava said, no, but we're dependent on the Balabais. Fine. But why did Rav Zeira not eat? Because he was concerned. He obviously didn't hold of this Balabais Svara. And he says, once the table's gone, it's all over. One second. What does that mean, it's all over? That doesn't forbid you to eat. It just forbids you to eat if you don't make a Bracha Rishayna. So,
which in essence means you're done.
Yeah, but you can make a bracha rishona. It's not like an issa achila.
Right.
So why didn't you do that? That's Tosfos' kashya. Is amai lo yochal? So why didn't you eat? Livrich ole, let him make a bracha on it, v'leichal, and let him eat. In other words, it's not the simple understanding of the Gemara. The lashon of the Gemara was what? That once you finished eating, osur milechal. Or once you remove the table, osur milechal. So the words osur milechal certainly indicate that that's it, you're not allowed to eat, period. You've got to bench. This is the point of no return. That's what Tosfos is saying, that no, the oilam amafarish, the way that this is traditionally explained is not that it's osur to eat, period. it's aser to eat unless you make another bracha rishayna. Well, if that's the case, then why on earth did Rav Zeira not eat? Even though he was concerned, the table was removed, but that doesn't present an issa to eat. It just says you can't eat unless you make another bracha. Fine, so let him make another bracha. He has to go on a fast now. But that's why Tosas had to make his introduction. Because Bishloima, if you would learn the Gemara, Kipshutai, certainly the simple understanding of the Gemara is it's aser to eat, period. That's why he says, I'm sorry, I've got no choice. Like, even if I'm starving hungry, I cannot eat, I've got to bench. But says Tosas, that's not true. That's not the way that this Gemara is explained. This Gemara is explained as it's aser to eat until you make a bracha. So let him make a bracha. That's his tema again. According to the way that everybody explains that Havlon Nevarech, once you've made your Hesach Hadas, Osir Lemishti Beloi Brocha Shelafonov, it's also to drink without the first Brocha, is a Mailoi Ochal. So they thought, well, why didn't they eat? Why didn't Reb Zeira eat? Livrech Oleho, let him make a Brocha Velechon, and then he can eat if you're so concerned, so let him make a Brocha. Veshemo, again, Tosis says, perhaps, I can't prove this, because it doesn't say. Veshemo hoyo tavshil shahoyo boi pas. Maybe this food that was brought to him was a tavshil, some sort of cooked item that had bread in it. Vahoyo tzorich birkas hamoitzi venatilas yodayim. This necessarily would have required Birkas HaMoitzi and to go and wash your hands. The Toirach Hoyo, and it would have been a big bother, an exertion, Lasa is Kol Kach, to do all of that. So this is conjecture. Total conjecture, and I think we have to look in other Rishayni, but we would all agree there's a little bit of a Deichuk. But that's the whole issue. You didn't eat because he couldn't get up and wash his hands. I mean, that's the whole Gemara. But that's what Tosas is suggesting. That means nobody in the world, says Tosas, says, nobody in the world says it's osa to eat, period, and you have to bench. No, if you want to eat, it's osa to eat, as long as you don't make a brocha rishayna. If you make a brocha rishayna, akasha, no problem. It's a big bother, because you have to do a moitzir, fine, it's a big bother. You don't want to have the bother, fine, then don't eat. But it's not essentially osa to eat. Next Tosfos, Ataka Deresh Galusa Samchinon. What does it mean, Ataka Deresh Galusa Samchinon? That we're Soimach on the table of the Balabais. Remember, Tosfos says, even though we have done a Siluk, that Siluk is not a Siluk. Because we definitely have Das that in the event the Balabais brings something extra, we're going to eat it. Obviously, we're not going to reject the Balabais' offer of some further dessert. So clearly, or whatever further food. So clearly we had that in mind. So if there's no Balabais, or if I am the Balabais, once there's a Siluk, there's a Siluk. But if I'm always keeping in the back of my mind that, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done. But it could be the Balabais is planning on bringing another course. It reminds me of the moshel. Kapil once mentioned it in the Parasha Shir. Wonderful moshel, as always, from the Dubna Magid. It's classic mosholim. Dubna Magid's mosholim were very different, for example, to the Chofetz Chaim's mosholim. If you ever hear a moshel of the Chofetz Chaim, it'll invariably be a king and his daughter. And you hear the Dubna Magid's mosholim, it's never that. And they both have a beauty for themselves. You know, you have the wonderful simplicity of the Chofetz Chaim's Mesholim. You know, there's a king and his only son and new thing, and he behaved badly, he's rejected from the palace and things. Then you have the wonderful, intricate Mesholim of the Magid, which just brings out the point so beautifully. So the Magid says, he's explaining the Gemara. The Gemara says, whoever says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran, what does it mean, a Vatran? A Vatran means he overlooks. Whoever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overlook something that you did, a person did an Avera. So if you say, well, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mavata, will overlook, and it says terrible things, and his stomach will be overlooked as well. Very terrible thing. So the question is, what does it mean? I mean, we all know we have Elul, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, we have Koyach HaTshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to forgive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moichel, V'Seileach, we daven for every day. So why can't we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavata? He is Mavata. So clearly the answer must be that there's a difference apparently between being Mavata and being Moichel, forgiving and overlooking. So the Magi gives his wonderful moshel. Wonderful, wonderful moshel. He says, tells the story of a poor person who was making a wedding and had no money and no resources whatsoever. And he managed to scrounge around. He managed to find somebody who's got a 100 spare plates. So he managed to schnorr 100 plates. And then he found some old barn, which he managed to convince the barn owner to give him for one night. That would be the wedding hall. And then he managed to find somebody who sort of bashes around on a drum, that's the musician. And then he managed to schnorr a bit of meat and a bit of drink and a bit of this and a bit of a cup. And he scrambled everything together and he's basically cobbled together some sort of wedding. And Baruch Hashem managed to schnorr it because he doesn't have a penny to his name. And he realizes just before the wedding, he's literally managed to schnorr absolutely everything. Tables, chairs, food, drink, flowers, music, everything. The only thing he doesn't have is soup spoons. He's got everything else. He managed to schnorr knives from one person, forks from somebody else. Soup spoons he doesn't have. You heard this marshal? Remember this marshal? The soup spoons. He said, I can't come now. We're serving soup. And I just suddenly realized we've got soup bowls, but we've got no spoon. You can't eat soup with a knife or a fork. What should I do? And it's getting late, an hour before the wedding. So he hears that there's a very, very wealthy individual making a chasna on the same night in some fancy schmancy hall. So he goes to the hall, and he looks at the hall, and he sees every single setting there. It's not like his cobbled-together wedding. There's a wine glass, and there's a drinking glass, and there's a l'chaim glass, and there's three plates, and there's four knives, and there's four spoons, and there's four forks, and there's choice of drinks. This is great. I see that there's a spoon by every single person. In fact, it's not one, there's four. So I'll ask him, I'll ask the balabais if he doesn't mind. So he goes up to the wedding owner and says, listen, I'm making a wedding, I have no money, I've managed to put everything together. All I'm asking is for 100 spoons. It's nothing more than that. So the Baal Simcha says, listen, I'd love to help you. I don't have any spare spoons, so what should I do? So he doesn't know what to think. He just looked at every table, there's four spoons next to every single person. He says, surely you could find me 100 spoons. He says, I'd love to. If I have, I'd be more than, I don't have any spare spoons. So he couldn't contain him anymore. He said, how can you lie to my face? I've just looked at the tables. I see there's four spoons next to every single person's plate. So the Baal Simcha said, I didn't say there's no spoons. I said there's no spare spoons. Every spoon there is accounted for. First spoon is for the entree, and then for the hors d'oeuvres, and then one for the soup, and then one for the dessert at the end. There's no spare spoons. I didn't say there's no spoons, nothing spare. There's nothing here which is doing nothing. So Dubna Magid says, that's what it means. A person has to realize that everything he does, good or bad, is of consequence. There's nothing that a person can do that is of no consequence, that doesn't matter. It matters. It could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you having done that, but to overlook means we'll just ignore it, it never happened. That means it's spare. There's nothing spare, there's no spare spoons. Everything that a person does has an impact, either for good or for bad. So if you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Moichel V'Seileach, means he's prepared to forgive you, because you were Chayze B'Tshuva and you accepted not to do in the future, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. But to be Mevata, to overlook it, means I'll pretend it never happened. No, that can't be. That can't be. So I once heard, I don't think the Dubna Magid added this line, but I once heard from a Rav in America, Rav Ephraim Waxman. You ever heard of Rav Ephraim Waxman? Terrific speaker. So he said, I don't know if this is his own addition, that's why it says, if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevata, then your stomach will be Mevata. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mevata on your stomach. So he says that, you know, a person has very, very long intestines. You know, they say if you line it up, from it'll go on for meters and miles and end. I think it comes, actually not miles, not sure. I think an average person has 22 feet or something of intestines. He says, imagine a guy would come up to you and say, listen, I've got stomach problems. Could you spare a couple of feet of your, you know, you've got 22 feet, I'm sure. What do you mean? There's nothing spare. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me 22 feet of intestines, and clearly I need it. So that's the midah kenega midah. If a person says that Kodesh Baruch Hu will overlook, then say that in one's own stomach will be overlooked. I'll call upon the oifen. How do we mention that? Yes, we're back into our Gemara. Even though you think you've finished the meal, but if the Baal HaBayis says there's an extra course, then there's an extra course. Therefore, there's no real siluk. There's no real siluk. Sorry, I can't not add. It's this week's parasha. It's Mamash and Yonah Diem with this week's parasha. I travel you for a chumash just behind you. A Bereshis chumash there. I think the second one on the right. Mamash this week's parasha. Thank you. Mamash this week's parasha. The Dubna Magid's moshel, the point of the moshel and the point of the nimshel wasn't just a cute pshat in the Gemara. Rather, what he was saying was that sometimes the biggest difficulty for a person to be a tzaddik is that he thinks, if I do an aveira, it's not the end of the world, nothing happens to me. Nothing happens to me. Well, Dun Magid says it's not true. When a person does an aveira, or a mitzvah for that matter, a person does an aveira, he becomes a different person. Something has happened. Can't overlook the spoon. It's not spare. It's not say the Kodesh Baruch Hu will overlook it, forget it, we'll, you know, give you a free freebie. So in this week's parasha, when the wife of Potiphar was trying to convince Yosef to commit an avera with her, he says, Ve'ich e'eseh ha-ro ha-gdoyla ha-zois. How can I do this terrible evil? Ve'chotosi le'lekim. I will have then sinned to God. It's all different pshatim. That's one of the pshatim. How can I do this evil? I will have sinned. And that's meaningful. Something's happened. Otherwise, it's just a tautology. He said the same thing twice. How can I do this evil? It's a sin. Yeah, obviously, it's a sin. That's why it's evil. It's evil. That's why it's a sin. How can I do this ro'a gdoyla? V'chotosi lelkim. I'll become a sinner. I'll become something else. I will change. I don't want to become a chotosi lelkim. Person becomes something different. Aladeh mitzvah, and even aladeh avir. Okay. So either way, the Gemara tells us that what? That you're relying essentially on the table of the Baal HaBayis, which means that even though, as far as you are concerned, the meal is completed, but it's not quite true. The Baal HaBayis decides to send in some more food, and it's not an absolute hesach hadah. Says Tosfos, Ataka d'reish galusa samchinon, we are relying on the table of the reish galusa. Says Tosfos, very interesting halacha. Mi sheshochach lechoil afikoymen. What happens if somebody would forget on Seder night to eat the afikoymen? V'omar, and he says, havlon v'nevorich, let's bench. So we've just learned that havlon v'nevorich is a siluk, and you're not allowed to eat, at least unless you make another brocha. Says Tosfos, einoi hesach hadas. That's not hesach hadas. Why not? Once you said, let us bench, we just said before, that's considered, as it were, the final act, and that's Hesach Hadas. Says Tosfos, is a beautiful turn of phrase, Da'anan ataka derachmona samchinon, to coin a phrase. The Gemara says, Anan ataka dereish galusa. We're Seimach on the table of the Reish Galusa, he was the host. We're Seimach, as it were, on the Rachmona. Who's the Rachmona? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, in as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us we must eat afikoymen, then that's not a Hesach Hadas. Ah, you forgot. Say that, but there's somebody bigger than you who's telling you that there's still more to come. In the same way, and not in the same way, even more so, if you see in the Gemara that what, as far as they were concerned, they had finished eating. Ah, but the Baal HaBayis decided otherwise. Fine, so who are we to say that was the end of the meal? So Tosfos, even more so, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided otherwise, you haven't finished the meal. Yes, we have. No, you absolutely haven't, because you haven't had afikoman. So we're, as it were, relying on the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning we're not really pulling the strings, deciding when the meal has finished. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that there's a further course because you've got to eat afikomen, and then so be it. So the fact that we thought that the meal had concluded, so we were wrong, and therefore it's not a hester chadas. So Tosfos is telling you, halacha lemaisa, you came to your end of your shulchan oirech on Seder night, you had your meal, and then you said, no, okay, guys, let's bench. And then somebody said, 1 minute, we forgot to eat afikomen. You would not have to make another hamotzi. Because it wasn't really a hesach hadas.
Either was.
But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides otherwise, then it's otherwise.
It's fine for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how can you extrapolate that to the Reish Galusa? No, we're Balabayas.
No, we're going the other way around. If the Gemara says about the Balabayas, and from that we can extrapolate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Kal V'Chomer. That's a Kal V'Chomer. If a Balabayas decides that I'm not yet done, and apparently I'm not yet done, then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides I'm not yet done, then I'm jolly well not yet done. Even though I thought I was. Now this line, I couldn't understand. Maybe Schus Tashir will understand it. Ve'im shochach ubirich v'lo yachal afikomen. And what happens if he forgot and he actually benched? Not he just forgot and he said, let us bench. That we've said is nothing. But if he actually forgot to eat afikomen and he went and benched, v'lo yachal afikomen, ein tzorich lachzor, and the Bach adds the words, ein tzorich lachzor v'le'echol, you would not need to go back and eat. Now this, I don't know what it means. The kol mitzvois l'shem mitzvah asuyos, because all mitzvahs are done l'shem mitzvah. I don't know what that means. Why would you not have to go and eat the afikomen again? Because all mitzvahs are done l'shem mitzvah. I didn't do the mitzvah. I couldn't figure out. I didn't have time to check. What does this mean? I press pause. All. This is what I was going to guess. Yeah. That's how I understood. I just thought it was a bit daring to suggest, but he says it, the Maritz Chius. What it means is, you have to have afikomen, like you said, as part of the meal, and you missed that. Say, but now what should I do? I have to have afikomen. So he says, no, you can be yotze, you've had afikomen. What do you mean, had it? Didn't eat it. When you eat your matzah, when you perform a mitzvah, your kavanah is that I should be yotze any mitzvah that I'm chuyev to eat. Therefore, that matzah that you ate will be considered afikomen as well. That's what it means. Hakavanah mishum de yotze b'matzah harishoina. You'll be yotze with your first matzah, she'ochal l'shem mitzvah. Have a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Tof Ayin Ches, Sif Beis. Sofai and Ches, the halachas of Say the Night. He sends you back to Luchas Brachas. Okay, we'll have to see in Shulchan Aruch. Fine. So that's what it means. Big Chiddush. Once you've benched, you're not going to eat afikomen afterwards. But I've got a chiyuv to eat afikomen. Don't worry. You're yotze the mitzvah afikomen already. Why? The kol mitzvahs, because all mitzvahs that were performed, l'shem mitzvah asuyes, were done with intent to mekayim the mitzvah, even though you didn't realize at the time that this would be considered your afikomen. That's what it is. Fine. Now, says Tosfos, a new point. That which we say, that what? That ki omar havlon v'navrich, quote unquote, that once you say, let us bench, osur l'mishti, which is a quote from the Gemara in Psochim. V'chein asurin kulon. And so too, when one person says, let us bench, that means it becomes osur for everybody to eat, not just for the person who uttered that statement. Says Tosfos, Hainu dafka, that's only when ki omar bal habayis. If the bal habayis was the one who made that declaration, then that makes it osur for him to eat, again without a brocha, and so too it makes it osur for everybody there to eat as well. Avoloi oireach, but not if a guest says that. We miss out the parentheses. If a guest says that, then that will not render it osa for everybody else. And not only that, va'af ihu gufa, and even him himself, who's him himself, this guest, not only does he not render it osa for other people, yochel lachzer v'lechel im bal habayis. Not only does he not make it osa for everybody else, he doesn't even make it osa for himself. He's allowed to go and eat. Why? Like the Gemara just told us, because the Bala Bais is the one who's pulling the strings. So if a guest says, oh, excuse me, I have to go, let me say, Rabbi San of Oreich, and the Bala Bais says, excuse me, I'm still bringing dessert, actually. And the guest says, okay, fine, I'll stay. He's allowed to eat without a Brocha Rishena. Which means, according to the way Tosfos has said it, it's either all or nothing. Either everybody's osa to eat, or nobody's osa to eat. If the Bala Bais says, Havlon v'navrich, Rabbi Yisrael v'orech, and that renders it also not only for him, but for everybody. But if anybody else says that, then neither does that create an issa for the person who said it. And Kol Shekein doesn't create an issa for everybody else. Okay. Two more tesisim. Ataka de resh galusa samchinon. So Rava explained that I was relying on the table of the Reish Galusa, he was the Bala Bais. So, Kasher Rogil Le'echoil Minei Peiros. If the Regilus is to eat many Peiros, Umevi'in Lohem Bezeh Achazeh, and they bring them one after another.
Feels like air conditioning.
It says heat.
It's freezing cold. So if they're rogil to eat mini peiros umevim lohem bezeh achazeh, and they bring them one after another. In other words, the Bala Bais has announced there's going to be a further course. Okay, we like surprises, but he doesn't bring all the fruit and one in once as a fruit bowl. Brings one, brings something else. Then yesh oimer. Some say shetzorech levorich akol chad v'chad. Some say then you would have to make a bracha on each individual fruit. Lefi she'einom yoidim, because they don't really know im yitein lohem bala bayis yoise, whether the bala bayis is going to give them something else. In other words, the bala bayis announces it's going to be dessert and he brings apples. Fine. Oh, I didn't expect oranges after that. And then finally oranges came and then there's pears. I didn't expect that. So it's all a chiddush. That's what some say. Says Tosfos, no, I disagree. V'nira she'ein tzorech levorech. I would say that no, it's not true. You do not need to make a brocha. Again, lefisha seimchin al shulchan bal habayis. Because the end of the day, who cares that you didn't know what to expect and he didn't bring it as one big large fruit bowl, but rather he kept bringing more and more fruits. Doesn't matter. I'm relying on the shulchan of the bal habayis v'hainu. To be Reish Galusa, and when you're in the house of the Reish Galusa, and for whatever he decides what to bring and how to bring it, my das is completely dependent on his. So in the event that he eventually decided to bring one fruit, another fruit, another fruit, and that's what apparently was always going to happen. Therefore he'd make no further first brachas. Final, Tosfos, Takef lenatilas yodayim bracha. We said that there are three tekifos, three juxtapositionings, smicha and shchita, geula and tefila. What's negeh to us is netilas yodayim to a bracha. Vehilkoch says Toisves, kiven shenotal yodov ba'achroino la'achar suda. Therefore, immediately having washed your hands at the end. What does it mean at the end? In other words, don't make the mistake of thinking this is talking about netilas yodayim in the beginning of the meal, the rishonim. Sumat lemayim achroinim. After that, osa le'achol ad shivarech. You'd not be allowed to eat again unless you made a new bracha. Vahu hadin, but so too im omar havlon v'navrech afilu b'lei netila, as we said before. So it's either one of the two. Either the washing of the hands renders an issa to eat, unless you make a new bracha, or saying Rabbi Yisrael Nevarech, which is very nigeh, let's say for us. I don't know what your meaning is. You do Mayim Achreinim? You do the Mayim Achreinim? So we don't do Mayim Achreinim. A lot of Yekkers don't do Mayim Achreinim. So then if we would say Rabbi Yisrael Nevarech, then that would be in turn the end of the meal, even if you didn't do Mayim Achreinim. Alternatively, if you did Mayim Achreinim, even without the Rabbi Yisrael Nevarech, that would therefore render the end of the meal, and you're not allowed to eat any other food unless you make a new bracha. Fine, that's the end of this sugya. Again, tricky sugya. There's what to see in halacha, we will see it in Mitzvah Hashem. But we have a little bit of unfinished business in the sugya of Pasabor Bekisnin, which was, let's go back a second to Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So we saw already on the Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara we saw last time, that there was this story they brought up Basabor Bekisnin, he said Hamoitzi, and the Gemara says there's a whole discussion, do you make Hamoitzi on Pasabor Bekisnin? Rav Muna. The Gemara says we do pask like that, or we don't pask like that. Maybe there's a difference if you're Kaveya Suda or you're not Kaveya Suda. That was the Gemara we saw on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So now, the Gemara we initially saw on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara over here was talking about what? The difference between foods that are Lifnei HaSuda, Machmas HaSuda, Shaloi Machmas HaSuda, Achrei HaSuda, all the various different categories we saw. So, if you remember, the second opinion in the Gemara, first word on the line is Sheshes. I think you have it in a box there. Rav Sheshes says, Tu'unin brocha, bein lefneim, bein lachreim, she'ein lecha dova. Because you will never have anything, she'ta'un brocha lefonov, ve'ein ta'un brocha le'acharov. So Rav Sheshes now issues a general rule. It cannot be that you're required to make a first bracha without a second bracha. Now he's coming to argue, if you remember the first opinion there. The first opinion, which was Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, what do they say? They said, right, because they're talking about what would be if you brought fruit to the meal. Teinim v'anovim, so we said that we all started going through. You would need a bracha lefneihem. Why would you need a bracha lefneihem? Because as we eventually saw in the Gemara, fruit is something which is considered shaloi machmas asuda. But the Gemara said, but you would not, however, be required to make a bracha achreihem because the Birkas HaMazon would include it. And that is what Rav Sheshes is coming to oppose. No such thing. If you have to make a bracha rishayna, then you necessarily have to make a bracha achreihem as well. Why? Because ein lecha dova. Because you'll never find something which requires a first bracha and not a second bracha. Fine. But then he said that this rule has an exception. Elo pas habo bekisnin bilvad. Pas habo bekisnin, which we now have to try and define a little bit, that'll be the only exception where you will indeed chayev be chayev to make a bracha rishoina, but not a bracha achreina. Says Rashi. Pas habo bekisnin la'achar achila ubirkas hamazon. Rashi learns that Pasabor Bekisnin is something which was brought after you finished eating and after you've had Birkas HaMazon, Hoyu Regilim Lohovi. They used to bring Kisnin. Now, what are Kisnin? We mention this expression always, pasabo'o b'kisnin. What on earth is kisnin? Vehein kloyos. Kloyos are dried out wheat kernels, I think. Lefi sheyofin lelev. Because they're apparently healthy for the heart. Because Amrina ba'alma, as we say in other places, is a gemara in the Erevin of Choftes on a base. Hani kisni, these kisnis, so you see that's the word we're dealing with. De ma'alu, they are very positive. Lelibo. What does lelibo mean? For the leaves. You see that Tosfos just bringing a proof, that's what these foods are. But you see, they're called kisni. So these kisni, these dried kernels of wheat, are normally brought not as part of the meal, but rather for health reasons. They're not there to satiate you. They're not there to enjoy the taste, but they're there for health reasons because it's good for your heart. Umevien imohen, and they would bring with them pas, bread, sheniloisho imtavlin, that was kneaded with spices, ke'en ubliash shelonu. Remember, we saw that Rashi on the Membeis Amud Aleph. That's how Rashi translated lachmanios as ubliash. So these kisnin and these kernels, which presumably were not eaten plain, were brought together with bread. But what type of bread? Bread that was kneaded with tavlin, with some spice. V'yesh, and there are those, she'osim oison, who make them, k'min tzipoirim. They make it as a shape of birds, v'ilonois, and trees. They make a whole fancy-schmancy shape out of it. V'oichel mehen dover mu'at, and you would eat from it a small amount. Umitoich, and since, she'noisnim bo tavlin harbe, because they would put in it a lot of spices, ve'egoizim and nuts, v'shkeidim and almonds, umacholo mu'at, and the eating part of it was very minimal. In other words, there was more spice and decoration than there was content. Because there was the main ingredient over here was the spices and the nuts and the almonds, but the ma'achola, the actual eating part of it,
the bread part,
right, was very small. And therefore, loy hitinuho. And therefore, they did not require, who didn't require? Chazal did not require bracha me'ein sholosh. They did not require an after bracha of a me'ein sholosh, midi dahava, similar to apas oirez v'deichen. We learned early on in the Gemara, right in the beginning of the perek, that you have rice and spelt bread, Domrinam Apirikin, where we have said in our perek betchila, boirim minim zoinois, ulabasoif v'loi klom. And if you remember there, we said, what does it mean, v'loi klum? It doesn't mean absolutely nothing. It means there's no bracha mi'ein sholosh, rather bo'er nefoshes. So there we have an example of something which on the one hand is bo'er nefoshes, but it wasn't choshev enough to require a real out-and-out bracha achreina. Not only do you not have to bench brikas ha'mozen, then you have to do a bracha mi'ein sholosh. So Rashi says, so too the same as pasabor b'kisnin. Pasabor b'kisnin would obviously require a first bracha, talking about something which is obviously not part of the meal. It was eaten after benching. So the bracha presumably would be boi minim mezainis, because it definitely is bread-based, albeit not proper bread, because it was doused in spices and nuts, and that seems to be the main content. But it would not require a bracha achroino. The way Rashi is saying is, achroira, not that it doesn't require any bracha achroino. L'choira, Rashi's learning, it wouldn't require bracha achreina, means it wouldn't have a bracha of me'ein sholosh. Because he's comparing this to the Aflam and Zayin on the base.
I thought he said you cannot compare it to rice bread. And
no, he says you can. Loi hitinu bracha memgil. You would not require an after bracha, midi. Just as, similarly, we find another case. where we do not find a bracha achrei naf. You remember the Gemara there, even though it's true, it did say the words that potav loy klum, but the Gemara says it doesn't mean loy klum literally.
Right.
It means bari nefashos.
Similar to
Midian,
spread,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the same way as. Here, top of Laman Zayin, it says, "Gaba oires." What's halacha with regard to oires? Now it's bread, rice bread. Einoy mevarech halav v'loy klum. We said quite clearly there, Eina Mavarech Halav V'loy Klum doesn't mean you make no bracha whatsoever, but rather a bracha of Bro Nefashos.
So if indeed, at the end of the day, you do say a bracha Yishona and a bracha Achrona, no matter what it is, how can Reb Sheshe say this is an exception to my rule?
Right, because it seems to be that our discussion was only with regard to Birkas HaMazon. And the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh, which is the replacement for. As everybody agrees, there's no such thing as eating without making bracha achreina. There's no such thing, if you eat the required amount, obviously. So he was talking about that. He says,
okay,
it cannot be that you have a food whose bracha achreina doesn't match the bracha rishon. So if it's mezainas or amaitzi, there's got to be Birkas HaMazon or Me'ein Shalosh. But Pasabal Bekisses is different. On the one hand, it's Mazainas. By the way, we paskin this way, for example, with regard to rice. Somebody eats a bowl of rice, he says, Bermen Mazainas, but he does not say Alam Mechia at the end. He says, Bermen Foshes. He's not considered that Choshev. So clearly, Rashi is learning that this Pasabal Bekisses was brought after the meal, after benching. Then you make a first bracha, and obviously you have to say some sort of bracha achreina, but not its bracha achreina, for Pasa Bo Bekisten. So let's see Tosfos. Elo Pasa Bo Bekisten. Says Tosfos, Pasa Bo Bekisten, the to'un bracha lefonov, it definitely requires a first bracha, ve'ein to'un bracha la'acharov, what does that mean? It doesn't require an after bracha, Rak boirei nefashos rabbi. Not that it doesn't require any after bracha at all. That can't be. Midi dahava. Just as we have a similar precedent for this, aoyres v'doichen d'aminon lehel, where we've said in the flamed zayin betchila mevarich boirei mine mezoynes beis mehem ulabasayif v'loy klum. There also it says you don't make anything, but that means you don't make main shalish. But of course you say shahakol.
Boirei nefashos.
Hoil the nosnu bohem shkedim harba, because you put in them a lot of almonds. So Pirish Rashi, afilu im ochal mehen achar birkas hamozen ko'omar. Remember, we always say ko'omar normally means not what was said, but what is meant. Rashi says that our Gemara means to say, not that it said it, it didn't spell it out clearly, but our Gemara means to say, even if this is eaten after the meal after Birkas HaMazon. Says Tosfos, V'loy Mehira. This does not appear to me to be correct. Choda, firstly, the Amrinon Le'el, we said above, as a general rule, Kol Sheyesh Boy Mechamesha Saminim, anything which has in it any of the five species, the rule is always Tzorich Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. So if you didn't eat it as part of the meal, if you ate it as part of the meal, then obviously you'll be subsumed by Birkas HaMazon. But Rashi says it wasn't part of the meal, it's an independent eating. If it's an independent eating, we have a rule. The rule is whenever you have food, that exception, that contains in it one of the Chamesha Saminim, then you always say Birkas HaMazon at the end, or whatever, Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. So how can Rashi says, no, just Bar Nefashos, it can't be. Va'oid, furthermore, amai ka'omar kisnin. Why did the Gemara ever talk about these kisnin? The kisnin is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The kisnin were the kernels, we're not talking about that bit. Lema nami could have also said, oires v'doichen. If you're looking for examples of When do you have a case where the bracha rishona and the bracha achrona don't match? So just say rice. Why do you have to talk about the old fancy case of pasabor bekistin, which is all very complicated? Says Tosis, al kain tzorich lefarish. Therefore, one has to explain, not like Rashi, the Ma'iri we're talking about, b'toich ha-se'udo. It was not after the meal, it's during the meal, koidem birkas hamazon, the Ma'iri bo, which is what we're talking about in our Gemara. The whole subject of our Gemara is what? Food that was brought during the meal. Then we have to distinguish, is it machmasudah, is it shalei machmasudah, is it flay, is it achre? Who's ever talking about eating food after the meal? Who's talking about that? Of course we're talking about it was brought during the meal, which is the Ma'iri bo, that's our subject. V'hochi ka'omar, and this is what's therefore being said in the Gemara. Chutz min ha-pasabo b'kisnin. Besides for pasabo b'kisnin, quote unquote, b'toi chasudo, which if it was brought during the meal, not after the meal, like Rashi learns, if it was brought during the meal, koidem brikas hamazon, de'ein ta'un brocha la'acharov, that would not require an after brocha. Which after brocha? You brought this pasabo b'kisnin during the meal.
Hamotzi.
No, l'acharov.
Okay.
The potar lei, birkas hamazon. Because here, birkas hamazon would jolly well exempt it. Afilu l'rev sheshes. Even though Rev Sheshes said that what? That we have a general rule that the after brocha has to match the first brocha, and that what? You cannot have one without the other. But there's one case where he will agree you can. When is that? In the pasuk Baba Kisnin case. Why? Mishum to have a dovar muat, because it is only a very small amount. We're talking about something, as we said, people have it just for health purposes. Aval beloy suda, but if it was eaten not as part of the meal, afla acharov, even after eating, tzorich levarich me'ein gimel brachos. I disagree with Rashi. If you would eat it after the meal, of course you'd have to make a brachas me'ein shalish. Olahachi, and therefore it's very good. That's why loy nokat pas oires v'deichen. So why didn't we talk about rice or spelt bread? Shari afilu b'loy suda nami ein srichin bracha me'ein gimel l'acharov. Because even without the suda, you don't have to make a brachas me'ein shalish. In other words, we learned again early on in our perek, that if you have rice bread, it's a very special case, so therefore you do not have to make a bracha of me'ein shalish. Now, why is that not mentioned in our Gemara? If Rav Sheshes is trying to tell us an example of something where you have a first bracha but not a second bracha, so why didn't you say rice bread? That would be a great example. Sestos is not a good example. Because that's nothing to do with the meal. That's true even if it's not part of the meal. If you sit down, not part of any other meal, and you have this pas oires, you make a first brocha and not a second brocha. At least not a matching second brocha.
Pasabob
a kiss is different because it's during the meal. That's the chiddush. If it's besides the meal, a pas oires, we've got plenty of exceptions. That's not what Rav Sheshes is here to mechadish. Even Rav Sheshes knew jolly well that you can have cases where there's a first bracha and no second bracha, meaning there's no second matching second bracha. That's not his chiddush. His chiddush is, can there be a case of during the meal? Now Rav Sheshes says that can't be, except pasavah b'kisnin. Don't tell me except for pasavah. That's nothing to do with during the meal. I'm trying to tell you a during the meal chiddush. It's the exact opposite of Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about after the meal. Tosfos says, no, he's telling you a chiddush in pasabob kissing during the meal. Is there ever a case during the meal where something would require a first bracha and not an after bracha? No such thing. Except pasabob kissing. Why all of a sudden does birkas hamazon include it? Because it's such a small amount. Therefore, it's not chashv enough to warrant its own after bracha. Huge machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos. Again, we'll have to see, Mitzvah Hashem, how this pans out, la locha. Okay. What we'll do is Hashem, on Thursday, all being well.
Did we finish?
Yeah, the last line is, we saw this last time, Loi kaim along Karev Sheshes. Tosis is we don't pass on that because he's the Yochid, we pass on that the Rabbin. Now, next time, Mitzvah Hashem, I'd like to do Chazor of this entire Gemara, which goes from Itmar, whatever that is, Itmar, all the way until the Mishnah. That will not take us the entire share. And then we'll see the halacha. Now, this halacha we've already learned about b'fnei asuda and achrei asuda, but it's this part we haven't yet learned with regard to kovas sudosoi, etc., etc. So we're going to have a look, and it's this one over here, kuf samach ches. Look at aleph beis over here. Tor shulchan aruch, oir achaim. Kuf samaches, sivvov, and zayin. And the next is gimel and dalet. So it says there, sivvov, sivches. In other words, we're going to see simon kuf ayin, kuf samaches, sivvov, zayin, ches. Okay.